means anybody can do it. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Let's get serious here. Turn there and stand with me. John chapter 14, verse 15 is our text. Now, we did do chapter 14, verse 15 in the last time. So we're going to back up a little bit, hit verse 15, but we're going to take it all the way to verse 24. So follow along as I read. And I think we have such a great thought this morning, encouraging. Here's what it says. Jesus says this, by the way, if you love me, keep my commandments. And by the way, this isn't a condition where God will love you if you keep his commandments. It's an indication that you have a relationship with him because you have a desire in your heart to be obedient to him. It doesn't mean we do everything we're supposed to do all the time, but it means it's in there. I want to do what God wants me to do. And so that relationship is there. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. I love that phrase. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas, this is not Iscariot, by the way, saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. I pray you'd guide us in your path. Help us to hear from you. We need to hear from you, so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Stress is a killer. Amen. Stress is a killer. When I was a kid, I turned over a rock there by the porch, and there was a giant slug. I mean a big, slimy slug. And I thought it was cool. You know, that's what boys do. So we grabbed a stick and we were poking it, you know. And then we thought, well, you know, it was big. We put that thing up on the sidewalk. We were messing with it. And then we got some salt. And we took salt and we started sprinkling it on that slug. And we watched it disintegrate, you know, just turn to goo. We could almost hear it screaming, ah, what are you doing to me? And as boys, we just loved doing that. It was like, I don't know, that's just what boys do, right? I mean, we poke slugs and pick up, I don't know, I hate spiders. I'd never pick up a spider, but raise your hand if you like spiders. Strange people. You need the gospel this morning. Amen. I like spiders. Why would you do that? My brother has a tarantula pet in his house. Like, how's a spider a pet? You know? Anyway, I don't want him getting off on that. I remember, though, the imagery of that slug just disintegrating. And I feel like that's how stress affects people. It's like in life, you're just trying to live your life, and then suddenly something in the world just starts poking you and messing with you. And then the next thing you know, I think, well, did you get your fill? Are you satisfied with the poking? No. We're going to put you up on the sidewalk, and we're going to little by little watch you disintegrate by pouring salt on your body. And stress can do that to people. Stress can cause you to have tingling in your fingers. Stress can cause you to not be able to sleep at night. Stress can cause great physical problems. And a lot of people have physical problems, and it's directly related to the stress that they're experiencing in their life. Depression, anxiety, these issues cause insomnia. These issues are often due to the stress that we feel in life. And although stress does cause these physical problems, and often it causes great emotional problems, can I tell you that the root of stress is spiritual? The root of the stress that we feel is a spiritual issue? Stress, defined, means to press. You can look the word up. It means to press. So in other words, pressure is what causes stress. Pressure is the act of squeezing or crushing, like the pressure put on grapes to make the grape juice. Remember I told you how I feel about spiders? So when I was a little kid, we had those big wheel tricycles. Remember the plastic ones that, you know, and you were super cool if you could get that thing going and then just like spin. What is that called? Whenever you just kind of go to this side and just drifting. Thank you. Like, how did y'all know that on the front row? Did you do that with the tricycle too? Okay. So, if you could do it with your bike, you know, you're cool if you could come on the scene like that. Hey guys. So I had the tricycle, and I would ride that thing around. I remember Grandpa picking me up, the whole tricycle and everything. And I thought, what is happening right now? And he stepped on a spider, a tarantula spider that was right underneath me. And literally this thing was so big that its legs were sticking out both sides of my grandpa's shoes. I'll never forget the imagery of that. And that's the way spiders should look. Amen. Underneath the shoe with both all legs sticking out the edges. I don't want to get close enough to a spider to have that happen, but that I remember that. And when I was thinking about stress and the crushing results of stress, I was thinking about that spider and how at times that's what happens in our life. Our finances can be in a place where we feel the stress, the crushing pressure of financial problems. Now, you might not say amen to that, but we all face these kinds of times where there's a financial trial, and it's relative because, you know, financial trials for some is totally different than financial trials for others. But it's the crushing pressure. You know what finances can do? It can cause you to not sleep well at night. It can cause you to have anxiety. It can cause you to be a little bit crabby and cranky. So that's what my problem's been? Yeah, it might be. How about the crushing pressure of relationship problems? Expectations. Talked a lot about this in Sunday school today. Unable to have our expectations fulfilled, and there's a crushing pressure of wondering about our marriage and wondering about our children and wondering about our status at our job and our boss and the friction that's there or the expectations that are there. And then how about this? Sometimes there's an expectation there and there's a standard there from the world, but God has a totally different standard than the world. And so we're trying to obey God, and the world has a different expectation for us. And the world says, hey, if you're going to have this job, or if you're going to have this promotion, if you're going to have this status, then you need to do this, and you need to have this commitment, and you need to be involved with this. But in your heart, God's saying, no. God's saying, you can't do that. No, you can't be committed that way. No, you need to stay faithful to me. And so we have the pressure and stress of trying to satisfy the world and keep our job and take care of our family. But then God is in our heart, and we wonder about where we will be there, and we feel the stress and the pressure from the world around us, whether it's finances or relationships or just expectations of the world around us. The disciples would have experienced a crushing kind of pressure in their ministry. If you think about it, they experienced things that you and I have no idea about. Although we do face times of stress and pressure, the persecution of their faith and the rejection of the gospel that they felt would have took them to a place that you and I perhaps have never been. Like, what do you mean, Pastor? They would find themselves, for preaching the gospel, sitting in a prison cell. They would find themselves beaten, taken to the streets, and flogged with rods. And so the pressure that they felt would have been wondering how they would deal with being obedient to God and the gospel and then facing this stress. Jesus knew that they would experience those times. He knew that they would experience times of pressure. Now, think about it. Jesus knew the disciples would face these serious times of stress and pressure. Don't you think that he knows when you and I are facing serious times of stress and pressure? You say, well, Pastor, I don't really have anything to be stressed or pressured about compared to what they're going through. But here's what we need to understand is that God's grace applies to them, but God's grace applies to you and me today. God cares whenever you and I are facing trials and seasons of pressure and stress. He cares about that. And just what he said to his disciples to comfort them and to strengthen them in those times that applies to you and me today. And what a help this is. What a difference it'll make in our life to stand and to be able to have good rest at night, to be able to know how to deal with this turmoil that we're feeling inside that's caused us to have that sickness in us, the knots in our stomach that affects our health. He gave it to them. Look what he said in verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Isn't that a great phrase? You should circle that in your Bible, by the way. And by the way, not just that phrase. Look at the last part of that verse 18. He says, I will come to you. I mean, that kind of sums it all up right there. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. And then he said, I will come to you. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, Jesus is gone. He's off the scene. He's going to die on the cross and he's going to be gone. The disciples are going through this turmoil. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Now, the word comfortless here, it's a different Greek word than the word comfort that we saw earlier in verse 16. This word is the Greek word orphanos. It's where we get our English word orphan, literally meaning some child that has no parent. And so when Jesus said here that he would not leave his disciples comfortless, what he was saying is, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without a parent or without guidance or without somebody to be in your life to help you navigate through the seasons of life and the trials of life. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, I'm not going to leave you without comfort and guidance. He said he would come to them. He would be with them. He would be in them. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Man, we could spend the whole time just talking about that. In fact, in the sermons to come, we might reverse and come back to that verse. Because I live, ye shall live also. Look at verse 20, though. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and look at this phrase, and ye in me and I in you. So Jesus is saying that I'm not going to leave you as orphans, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. They would face this trial and opposition. They would have fear that Jesus isn't going to be there. That would have been an overwhelming thought. It reminds me when we were at the grocery store. I did say this one time before, but I was ornery to Caleb, and he had anxiety attacks sometimes whenever mom and dad weren't around. So I snuck around the aisle, and he couldn't see me. As a matter of fact, I saw a parent doing this the other day at Walmart to one of his kids. He snuck behind the aisle, and he was going like this. And it was a little kid. I'm like, I did that. Parents are so mean sometimes. It's usually dads, though, right? Anyway, moms want to, but they can't get it in them to do it. I did, no problem. So I sneak to the other aisle. He's like, Dad, Dad. And then he's running around. I'm like, okay, Caleb, the whole store can hear, you know. And so, that anxiety. That would have been what Jesus didn't want his disciples to have, these anxiety attacks, where they would have wondered, not only, listen, look at what we're going through, and where is Jesus in all of this, and can I continue to stand and deal with the trial and the stress and the burden, the pressure of the world, trying to stand and be what God has called me to be. But Jesus says, no, you're not going to, listen, you don't have to worry in those seasons. Why? I'm not going to leave you comfortless or as orphans or alone. You're going to be in me. I'm going to be in you. In other words, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm kind of getting chills. I don't know. I like this stuff. Look at verse 22. Judas did not understand. A lot of people, I think, sometimes don't understand how the Holy Ghost works. Even today, After having the full New Testament and knowing the word, they certainly wouldn't have understood. Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that thou being wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? In other words, how is it that you're going to reveal yourself to us, but then the world isn't going to see you? I mean, I don't understand. Is it like this mystical thing where I see you, but somebody else doesn't see you? I just don't understand. Jesus said, 23, answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words and my Father will love him. Well, what does that mean? That means people who are saved. That means people who have God in their heart. Like, you get saved. That's what he's talking about. By the way, his reference is back to verse 15 when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's talking about salvation. He's not talking about working your way into salvation. He's talking about something that God gives you. It's a love that God gives you in your heart when you are saved. And so here's what he's saying. People who are saved, they have something that people in the world don't have. There's something that God gives you the moment you get saved. The world doesn't have it. And by the way, that one thing that God gives you the moment you get saved, it opens your eyes, it helps you to understand, it gives you strength, it gives you motivation, it helps you to have vision, and it helps you not only have all those things, but God, Jesus here is saying that He comforts you whenever you're in your times of pressure and stress. Well, who is it? Or what is it? Well, look what he says in the last part of that verse, 23. He said, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So when you get saved, you are indwelled by the Holy Ghost. Like when Paul said, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. Melissa and I sing this song. Have we sang this song here? He lives in me. We need to sing that song. We need to get the boys in on that. Amen. There's a song called He Lives in Me. No, He lives in us when we get saved. He dwells in us. He's like, well, you know, I feel so alone sometimes. You know, the devil wants you to feel that way, doesn't he? He wants you to feel like you're all alone, depressed and discouraged and down. He wants you to be controlled by anxiety and stress and worry and fretting so you don't have any fingernails anymore because you're biting them all off. The devil wants you to have that. But Jesus says, listen, you have something. You have something that's given to you when you're saved. And by the way, there's a seal that comes on your soul through the Holy Ghost so that when you're saved, you can't lose the Holy Ghost. You can't lose your salvation. So what he gives you at salvation, and it's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The lost world doesn't have that. Why? Because they don't have commitment to Christ. You might say, well, Pastor, I've never had peace in my life. It might be that you don't have the Holy Ghost in there. Well, how do I get Him? Oh, that's a good question. And you're in the right place. It's called the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation. So you hear about Jesus, your need of salvation, that you're a sinner, like we heard about the woman at the well. And you know you need to be saved. You know you need to be saved. And you're ready to turn your heart to Him, which is a choice you have to make. And so He convicts your soul. He tells you, it's like you're in church and you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, this is good. This is good. This is good. You know, and then God says, and you need this. And you're like, oh man, I need to be saved. And that's when you know He's speaking to your heart and you need to turn your heart to Him. And the moment you either come to the altar or make a decision in your soul to give your heart, commit yourself to Him and ask Him to save you, you commit yourself to Him, you trust in Him for your eternal destiny, turning away from yourself. It's called repentance, friend. You're embracing your own method and your own way and your own life. And God speaks to your heart and says, this will lead you to hell. And He says, but I have eternal life and I'll give you salvation. And you turn your heart to Him and you give Him your heart and you give Him your soul and you ask Him to save you. And in that moment, the Bible says He makes you born again. But it also teaches right here that He abides in you. He indwells you. He lives in you and your body becomes a temple. The world doesn't have that. And so it might be that you've never really had a true peace in your soul. You've been looking for it and searching for it and you have times or seasons of kind of happiness, but the peace of your soul, it's not been there. It's because you need to be saved. It's because God speaks to our hearts and He draws us unto Himself and we know we need to be saved and it's time time to turn yourself to Him. Jesus said that if you're saved, God would come and live in you, meaning He would, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come and live in you. He would not leave you alone, and He would be in you, giving you affirmation of your salvation. But how about this? In your seasons of stress, in your seasons of trial. Oh, Pastor, what are we going to do about this? I haven't been able to sleep. Are you saved? Yes. Well, the Spirit lives in you? Yes. And that means He wants to comfort you in this season. He wants to comfort you. He wants you to be reminded that He's not left you. He didn't leave you alone. Remember that scripture that says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Was that what you said? Amen. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. You know that verse? He will not leave you nor forsake you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So is there ever a time He's not there? No, He's there. You're saved, He's there. He's in you. In the scripture, He's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah, by the way, is the covenant name of God. It means I am that I am. When God spoke to Moses and Moses said, "What's your name?" He said, "I am. I am that I am." That's Jehovah. It means that God can only be who He is. That means when God tells us who He is, He can only be who He is. I am that I am. So when it says I am Jehovah Rapha, it means I am that I am there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is available. You have access to Him even right now because of the grace of God. And the veil of the temple that was ripped in twain, giving us access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you at any moment, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, you have direct access to the Father. You can talk to the Father anytime. That's powerful. So in your times of turmoil, stress, and pressure, in your times of relationship struggles and opposition, in your times when you feel all alone and you feel overwhelmed and stressed to the max so that you feel sick in your stomach. Say, Pastor, when, you know, I've never had that before. I think probably maybe you have. I'm not talking about Taco Bell either. We ate that the other day. I'm telling you, it makes you feel sick too, but stress. Grant was running to the street. He was little. I'm like, Grant, stop. And we couldn't get there quick enough. A car was coming. He was running right to the street. And you know what he did? He stopped right before he got into the street. I mean, that decision to obey his dad right in the moment and stop in his tracks very possibly could have saved his life in that moment. And the stress in our life, it's like we are right now on course to the street, and we feel like I don't even know how I can get out of it. I'm gonna get ran over. I mean, this life has me so down right now. I don't know the answer. You're wondering about it. The stress that you feel. Halloween's coming. Listen. Everybody has their own opinion about Halloween. I like candy. Amen. So that's good. We have not been involved with Halloween really since ever, not since we were married in college and everything. And so the kids were little, and they all have pajamas that are characters in movies or something, like Captain America and Iron Man and all these, and that's their pajamas. And but the pajamas have like actual shields and swords, and I mean they have all of it. So every night, and in fact, and for Ethan, I think maybe he was like 6 years old, and he wore Spider-Man outfit till he was six, all day, the same outfit. I mean, it was so cute. We had to let him like wear it around. He had real clothes on, and then his Spider-Man outfit. You know, I think he would still wear that if he could fit it. Anyway, no, you embarrassed? Anyway. He's like, Dad, his birthday's on Wednesday. He's like, Dad, can I get a life-size Spider-Man outfit? No, he didn't say that. But he wants it. Thumbs up. Anyway, so the boys are like, Dad, can we dress up for Halloween? Well, we're not going to go door to door, but they want. So it's Halloween. We got a bowl of candy, and we attach tracks to every candy, you know. And so we're like, okay, we'll do it. The boys are all excited, and turn the light switch on, and we have the bowl and the track with the candy, and the doorbell rings, and the boys are excited. They're running. We had the main room on our main floor in Nebraska. It had two doors on it, and so literally you could run in circles, and they did. They were like animals. They just ran around in circles. And so they took off on a couple of laps and then made their way to the front door, and they're so excited. They're like jumping up and down, and we know somebody's out there, and they're ready for some candy and gospel tracts. Open the door, and the very first person we had at our house was a kid that had this mask on that had blood and worms coming out of the eyes. And Grant saw this, and he goes, ah, and he screamed, and he took off to the kitchen and hid himself in the cupboard thing where all the food was. He didn't come out for a while. I mean, it scared him to death. You embarrassed? Anyway. So there's this anxiety that happens in our hearts sometimes. And you know what we have to do sometimes? Every day, we open the door to go to work. And when we walk out into this world, it's like we see the mask every day. It's like, well, church is my refuge. Amen, it should be. And then I got to go back to the world. And then that's what I get to see. And you know what that does? It does like Grant sometimes. It makes us feel sick. How much of that pressure and stress can you feel so that you just don't even want to go anymore? You just don't even want to do anything anymore. You just want to shut down and just close it off, you know? Jesus, I think, knew that this would have been a struggle that the disciples would have. Last week, I was walking around this walking trail and I was praying. And I was just feeling stress, and I was feeling a sickness kind of in my stomach. And I was talking to the Lord, and I was asking him if he would just take it away, you know? If he would just take that stress away. Because I wasn't enjoying things. And you know, while I was walking, I know the Lord doesn't audibly speak to us, but he speaks to us. And I was walking and asking the Lord to take that stress and burden, and it was as though I could audibly hear him say, it's okay, I'm here, I've not left you, I've not forgotten about you, I'm here. You know, with that, it was as though I could just take that stress and burden. Watch this. It was like I could just take that stress and that burden I was carrying around, and I could just give it to him. And the peace just came because I was able to cast my care on him. Jesus wants his disciples to learn to cast their care on him. If you're lost, then you don't have the ability to do that because you're at war with God. God wants to give you peace. Peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to turn your heart to him. The conflict is over, and peace floods your soul. If you're saved this morning, but your stress is killing you, then you need to remember this great truth. He's here. The boys were fussing. I'm going to finish with this. The boys were fighting with each other on our camping a couple of weeks ago. They were in. Now, when you're in tents, you can hear everything that's happening over there. And it was a rainstorm that night. And so there was thunder. And it was so loud. It was great. And the rain, and it was kind of therapeutic for me. But the boys are fighting with each other, arguing with each other in the next tent. And suddenly, and I'm telling, I sort of got onto the boys. I said, you guys need to stop fighting with each other. Suddenly, right then, a clap of thunder just hit. Boom! And then Melissa goes, guys, God wants you to stop fighting with each other. Perfect timing. Only she would think to say that, I think. You know what it reminds, you know, things like that. It's not as though we need some sort of a clap of thunder. But God wants you to remember He's there. He is here. And you, what you need to do is you need to separate yourself away and you need to walk with God and tell Him your burdens and tell Him your cares and wait for Him to speak in a still small voice to remind you of this great truth. It's okay. I'm here. And He'll carry your burdens for you. He'll give us strength to continue. I love the whispers of God, don't you? The affirmations of God in our soul. It takes the stress away. He wants to carry your burdens for you. Like, well, you know, if He increases my finances, then my stress would go away. No, it wouldn't. Well, you know, my problem is that relationship issue. If that person would not be in my life, then my stress would go away. It actually wouldn't. What we need is God. He carries our burdens for us. And by the way, He is there. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is and will always be there. We just need to remember that. Give Him our burdens today. Father, I thank You for this great